Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. Keats blocks in Pankow, from which unwanted traffic should disappear, are still only an idea. But shortly after the publication of the sketch for a project of the initiatives Changing Cities, City for People, and Bicycle-Friendly Pankow, a broad majority is already emerging to stop motorists who are looking for shortcuts through residential areas. If the traffic activists and transport politicians from the SPD, the Greens, and the Left have their way, in the future there will be lines of bollards in up to 12 Pankow neighborhoods. Such barriers in large parts of the district could ensure on a broad front that only direct residents will be able to use the roads in Prenzlauer Berg, Pankow, and Weißensee, and no one else. Until February 12th, stakeholders are examining the implementation of measures in their neighborhoods. The initiatives propose diagonal barriers which are placed at certain points in the middle of the neighborhood, but not at its entrance. This allows residents, emergency services, and garbage collectors access. But if you want to cross it, the barrier at a central point prevents you from doing so. In this way, heavily trafficked districts become, quote, neighborhood blocks, comparable to so-called, quote, super blocks in Barcelona. During a business trip there last year, District Mayor Soren Ben of the Left learned how the protective barriers against road congestion work. Since then, Ben has taken a positive view of the imitation of this role model in Berlin. The Berlin-Brandenburg Airport Company has won a partial victory in the legal dispute over the expansion of the not-yet-opened Capital Airport, BER. On Monday, the Higher Administrative Court of Berlin-Brandenburg dismissed a claim against Terminal 2 at the future Capital Airport when the court approved the construction of the terminal, which has been underway since 2018. The four municipalities Blankenfelde, Eichwalde, Großbeeren, and Schulzendorf, which are located in the vicinity of the airport, had tried to stop construction and filed a complaint against a corresponding change in the planning approval decision. Under the direction of a general contractor, Terminal 2 is being built for up to 6 million passengers as a massive but plain concrete structure in the front of the northern part of the original Schönefeld Airport. If possible, it should be ready for the opening of BER in October. Whether this will be successful is not certain. However, airport CEO Engelbert Lütke-Daltrup assumes that the opening of BER in the autumn of 2020 could take place without the additional terminal if necessary, as there is comparatively little air traffic in Berlin at that time of year, and he believes the main terminal could provide the necessary capacity for a few months. For Lütke-Daltrup, the legal dispute with the four municipalities and a citizens' association involves a great deal. His entire master plan for 2040, which provides for an expansion of BER to a capacity of 50 million passengers per year, would be at stake in the event of divergent rulings. He's planning extensions such as Terminal 2 and the new federal police building, but only in the, quote, midfield, or in the inner area of the new airport site. Any new construction site outside of the area designated as an airport would have been much easier to complain about. The court ruled that the rights of the surrounding communities would not be violated by the construction of the additional terminal, and judges found that aircraft noise would not increase compared to the usual planning permission. They did not allow an appeal. The legal dispute is not over even after this partial success of the airport company, however. No decision has yet been made on the lawsuit filed by the Citizens Association, which is directed not only against Terminal 2, but also against additional taxiways. This matter is to be discussed on the remaining 4 days of the scheduled hearing. The key issue is whether or not the former GDR government terminal can continue to operate for several years. Originally, the building permit for BER was for closing the existing airports when the new airport opened. In the case of Tempelhof, this happened, and TXL in Tegel is also to cease flight operations. Only Schönefeld is still needed because of the scarce handling capacities. For this reason, temporary adaptation measures to the flight operation areas, such as runways and an airfield, were approved. This clause is only to apply until 2023. Lutke Daltrup would, however, continue to use the Schönefeld facility for 13 million passengers until another large terminal building is built in the midfield of BER. But that would be in 2030. Drivers in Berlin must prepare for new driving bans. From 2030, cars with both gasoline and diesel engines will no longer be allowed within the S-Bahn ring. From 2035, the driving ban will then apply to the entire city. This is according to a Senate bill by Environmental Senator Regina Günther of the Greens, as reported in the Berliner Morgenpost. The senator is thus implementing her announced plan to ban cars with combustion engines from the city. However, the bans are still controversial within the Red-Red-Green coalition. In December, the Senate had declared a climate emergency for Berlin. By mid-January, it was said that a, quote, time and action plan was to be presented on how Berlin could become climate neutral as quickly as possible. The House of the Responsible Environment and Traffic Senator Günther has now submitted concrete proposals to the Senate. Originally, the meeting was scheduled for January 14th, but there is still a need for a vote. The senator has her eye on traffic in particular. She says that carbon dioxide emissions from this sector rose by 11% between 1990 and 2017. Günther now wants to take countermeasures. From 2030, vehicles with combustion engines will be banned from entering the low-emission zone, for instance, the inner city within the S-Bahn ring. From 2035, such a, quote, zero-emission zone would apply to the entire city area. In order to get more money for the expansion of public transportation, the Senate is to discuss new financing options, such as a city toll or a local transportation tax that is also to be borne by motorists. Günther wants to expand the parking management system and raise the fees for residents' parking. In air traffic, the Senator for the Environment is proposing to bind fees at the new BER airport to the amount of pollutant emissions generated during takeoffs and landings. The Senate administration wants to, quote, reduce commercial traffic and convert the engines to zero emissions. Günther is also urging the Senate and the state of Berlin to set a good example. Authorities and state companies are to convert their vehicle fleets to emission-free vehicles by 2030, and Senate members are to switch to clean company cars by the end of 2021. According to the senator, the building sector must also make a much greater contribution to climate protection. One demand is that new city quarters should be planned with the goal of climate neutrality and the quota of existing buildings that need to be renovated every year to make them more energy efficient must rise to 2.6%. Until now, it's been less than 1%. The installation of new oil heating systems is to be generally prohibited, existing systems are to be phased out step by step on a mandatory basis, and the government wants to flank the change with subsidy programs. All new buildings will be equipped with solar systems and will thus generate either electricity or hot water. As already decided, coal as a fuel is to disappear from Berlin's power plants by 2030. New gas-fired power plants must also be able to run on hydrogen, and Berlin's organic waste is to be used in a new biogas plant by 2025. It's still unclear whether Regina Günther and the Greens will be able to assert their proposals in the Senate. Berlin has a new digital educational institution. The Wild Code School is opening its new campus in Wedding, where web developers are now being trained. The courses are designed for 5 months, no special previous knowledge is required, and the Job Center offers support for the courses. The school also explicitly promotes women in technical professions and can draw on the experience of other European locations. In addition to Berlin, the institution is also represented in Paris, London, Madrid, and Amsterdam. According to the press release of the institution, students learn all the steps necessary for qualitative web development, from customer meetings, design processes, and important programming languages to final acceptance. Those who are already in the profession can also complete the course on a part-time basis. The Wild Code School claims to be one of the few providers on the market where participants work on real customer projects and thus gain direct practical experience. The standard price for the school is 7,400 euros, and the Job Center offers education vouchers to finance the training. In addition, the school itself offers various scholarships. The Wild Code School was founded in France and is also active in Spain, Portugal, Belgium, and England. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.